Do you know this song? Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Oh, good. You do know that. That goes back a long ways, a bit of a ways. 1988. Don't worry, be happy. Bobby McFerrin. And for a couple weeks that year, that was the number one hit in America. Now, some of you are saying, that's too far back. All right, how about this song? Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Hakuna Matata. We must worry if we have songs about worrying, right? Actually, there's a bunch of them. We have phrases about worrying too, don't we? Oh, like that one, no worries, or not to worry, or don't worry your pretty little head off. Oh, I was worried sick. Or this is a nice one, if you worry too much, we call you a what? A worry wart. Ooh, yeah, that sounds fun. Worry. Well, let's keep going here with a little more audience participation. What kind of things do people worry about? Money? Health? The weather? Children? How old are children? Okay, good. We worry about a lot of stuff, don't we? I'm worried about this sermon, about worry. Not really, but you know, we can worry about everything. Well, today we're going to talk about the antidote to anxiety. I'm glad that when we read in the Bible, and we read about the early church and the early Christians, they have a lot of the same problems and struggles and challenges that we do. And so he's going to talk to us about this. Now, why were the Philippians, why are they worried? Well, we're kind of coming to the end of the book here, and we've mentioned a few. There's some external threats. There's internal opposition. They're worried about Paul in prison. They're worried about their own guy they sent to Paul to see how he was doing, Epaphroditus, who got sick and almost died. So there were things for them to worry about. And our verses don't deny the existence of anxiety. It just tells us how to deal with them. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a person down. You've been there before, right? Well, wouldn't it be nice to just sort of have a worry-free life? Well, maybe the solution is you just grit your teeth and you resolve not to worry. And then you start worrying about not worrying. You know, no, that's probably not it. Maybe it's a personality thing, right? I just don't have the right personality because I worry too much. If I just had the right that's not it either, right? Well, this morning's going to be a problem-solution kind of sermon. We want to look at the problem of worrying, and then what does the Bible say? So let's talk about the problem. It's been said that a problem well-defined is half-solved. And so let's sort of analyze worry. It says don't worry, don't be anxious. I've thought about this for a couple weeks here now, and there's a whole psychology of worrying, and that's not my training. I'm not a psychologist, but I just thought, well, Lord, why do we worry? Why does that happen? Certainly what worry costs us isn't really worth it, right? It costs... What happens when you worry? There's tension, you lose sleep, you're irritable, there's fatigue, you have problems concentrating. It's certainly a joy buster because you're worried. So if worrying and that's just the start of the list. If that has so many drawbacks, why do we worry? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. A big part of worry has to do with the issue of control. Now, sometimes we worry about things that we have no control over, right? Like the weather, or politics, or the stock market, or the government, you know. Sometimes we worry about things that never even happen. One smart guy quipped, "Hey, worry works. 98% of the things I worry about don't happen." Well, it's interesting because each time in our minds, each time we worry and then the bad things don't happen, our mind sort of makes a connection between worrying and bad outcomes. Now, maybe we don't always consciously think that or realize that, but we sort of conclude, well, it's a good thing I worried about that because now look, it didn't happen. And besides, if I do worry, then I won't be surprised if something bad does happen. You ever feel that way? I can sort of preempt my disappointment and somehow have a little control over it. Unfortunately, you and I can't foresee any and all possibilities of things that could go wrong. So there's no way that we can preempt all disappointments. And then sometimes I think we even have sort of the superstitious element that somehow worrying about it is going to lower the likelihood of it happening. And boy, if I stop worrying, well, then it's just going to invite trouble. And the hard part is a lot of stuff that we worry about, we feel like we will have control over, but we don't. So there's one reason that we worry. It's an issue of control. Here's another reason we worry, and it may sound a little counterintuitive, but worrying feels good. Despite its long-term consequences, in the short term, it kind of helps us a little bit. It's sort of like eating junk food. You know it's not that good for you, but in the moment, it feels good, right? Why does it feel good? It gives us sort of this temporary relief from feeling helpless about things that we can't control. And think, well, if I just worry about it, at least I'm doing something, and it feels good. And again, there's a whole kind of psychology and things that go on in our body that our body chemistry, and we kind of, oh, okay, and it sort of lifts us up, but at least we feel like we're doing something. Well, this is not how to worry better seminar. So let's talk about why we shouldn't worry. Here's Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. We're jumping into the middle of it, and he's going to talk about worrying. Matthew 6. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus gives us a couple reasons why we shouldn't worry. That first verse I read, worry is kind of foolish. He says there's more to life than fancy food, fancy drink, fancy clothes. Don't worry about that. If you do, you start to become uneasy, you overthink things. I like the little Swedish proverb that says, "Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow." And we make more out of it than we should. He says, worry is foolish. Next verse, 26. He says, worrying is really faithless. It's sin. It's not believing God. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And the passage goes on further. I didn't give all the verses, but a few verses later in verse 32, Jesus comments on this too. "Pagans run after these things," he says, But your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. So to worry means God isn't paying attention, or He doesn't care, or He isn't strong enough, or He isn't wise enough. And Jesus says, well, let the birds be your teachers or preachers. When you hear the birds singing their little songs of praise, well, let that remind you of they're content and God takes care of them. Can you imagine how much bird seed it would take to feed the estimated 200 to 400 billion, that's with a B, billion individual birds there are in the world? And Jesus says, you know what? God takes care of all of them. So you don't need to worry about how God's going to take care of you. And then finally, Jesus says, worrying is really futile. It doesn't help. Verse 27, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? We kind of talked about that. We think worrying will help, but it really doesn't. It not only doesn't help the situation, but it usually makes things worse, right? It interferes or hinders or even wipes out our joy and our rest and our peace. And here's what Corrie Ten Boom said. Corrie was a Christian who survived the Nazi prison camps. She said, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Jesus says, so don't worry. Now, if in our passage, if the Bible just says, stop worrying, and that was it, that wouldn't be that helpful, right? It's kind of like the doctor. You go, doc, it hurts when I do that. Well, don't do that. You know, I mean, that okay, but I need something more, better. Give me some help. I'm glad God does that. And in the scriptures, we often see, and oftentimes the verses kind of right next to each other, God will say, don't do this. Do that. Put off this, put on that. In Colossians, Paul even uses kind of like you're getting dressed. Take off this and clothe yourselves with this. Well, let's talk about that. What's the process? I'm not going to worry about anything, but the verse is going to say, pray about everything. Sometimes we get those two reversed. We worry about everything and pray about nothing. But he says, pray. Now let's look at it. In everything, it says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, pray. Pray comprehensively. So pray about everything. Pray about the travel, your travel. Pray about the weather. Pray about the people in your life, the people that you know, like, you know, your kids we mentioned. Pray for people that you don't know or you can't be there. We pray for our missionaries and other people in other parts of the world. And maybe you don't even know them. You can pray about them. Situations near and far and big and little. In Peter says, cast your cares on him, on God, because he cares for you. So I don't know what cares or worries you have this morning. But God says, pray about those. So everything. I try to make a list here, a description. Your discouragement, your weariness, your hopelessness, disappointment, frustration, depression, pain, hurt, suffering, grief, heartache, affliction, trouble, anxiety. Ooh, that's a nice list. Pray about all those things. If you ever wondered, I wonder if we should pray about this. The answer is yes. Here's a Bible verse right here. Pray about everything. You don't have to wonder. The verse right before this, Philippians 4:5, says the Lord is near. Well, that encourages us. Well, God, you're right here. I should probably talk to you about it and pray. He says pray specifically with prayer and supplication. That is specific requests. That could be something small like, Lord, help me fall asleep. Or something big like, Lord, I need you to heal this disease. Nothing too great for God's power, nothing too small for his care. So let's get specific. Sometimes we think, well, if I speak out loud my fears and worries, it's something bad's going to happen. No, I think it's just the opposite. I think if we speak them out loud and say, this is what I'm worried about, it, one, it kind of takes the steam out of it a little bit, and then you can pray more specifically. So, for example, let's say you're worried about money. Tell God that. Lord, I'm worried about our money, usually which means our lack of money. I need X amount of money to pay our bills. Lord, will you supply that? Will you help us? Lord, I need a job. I need another job. I need a raise in my current job. Pray specifically. We often worry about the people in our lives. Pray about them. Lord, our kids, we send our kids off to school and I worry about them. Or maybe your kids are grown. Lord, give them wisdom. Protect them. Watch over them. Help them make wise decisions. And Lord, let me not just worry about them, but let me entrust them to you and I release them to you. Lord, help me. That's praying specifically. Pray comprehensively. Pray specifically. And then he says, pray thankfully. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, when Christians pray to God, we don't pray with, let's rewrite that verse, with complaining, let your requests be made known to God. With anger, with blaming God, no. It says, pray with thanksgiving. Giving thanks expresses trust. God, I trust you. Yeah, but I don't know about you, but I don't always feel thankful. Well, the verse doesn't say feel thankful. It just says give thanks. Now, you probably have experienced kind of what I have too, where feelings follow your obedience. When you say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I don't know if I feel like it or not. I want to. I'm willing. I'm trusting you. But my emotions could be up, could be down, or just kind of flat. But then when I trust God and I obey and I do something, usually those feelings come a little later. You go, wow, I feel so much better. I'm glad I did that. With thanksgiving. So how do we do that? Let me throw out a couple suggestions. Thank God for the past. God, you have worked in the past. You have done this. We sing a hymn sometimes, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, you've been faithful. Thanking God for what he's done in the past helps us trust him like in the present. God, thank you for what you're doing right now. Maybe a way that could help you, it's helped me in the past, you keep a little prayer list or a journal. Here's what we prayed. Here's how God answered. Here's when God answered. Because you forget. And after a while, your journal or whatever kind of starts to fill up, and you go, wow, look at this. God's really at work. Thank you, God. You can even thank God for the future. That's sort of thanking God in advance. You're not even there yet. But God, I'm trusting you. Thank you that you know what's best, that you know how this is going to work out, that actually you care more about this than I do. So God, by faith, I'm going to even thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. So what's the antidote to anxiety? You pray. And then there's a promise. What happens when you do this? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. God gives a promise. Now, what's his promise? That he's going to give you everything you prayed for? That he's going to take you out of tough situations? Sometimes he does that. No, the promise that in this verse at least, is God's peace. Now, what's God's peace all about? The peace of God. Well, Bible describes it as a supernatural peace. It surpasses all understanding. This peace, that's the opposite of worry, right? It's a serenity and a calmness and a security that characterizes God himself, who never worries, right? God never worries. He's never up in heaven. Oh, man, how's this all going to work out? I'm so upset. God's never like that, right? So his peace, that's the kind of peace that I want. Now, it's not that we can't experience it. It's just that we can't always understand it. It transcends sort of our human thinking, our intellectual powers, our analysis, our insight, our understanding. It goes beyond that. Now, things like medicine or massage or other things that we can do to kind of help our worry, you know, those have its place, but nothing like the peace of God that surpasses all of that. It's so supernatural that you can have God's peace even when it doesn't make sense to have it. Paul, how can you have the peace of God when you're chained to a soldier in a Roman prison? And you have peace? You're talking to us about peace? Yeah, you can have peace. It's a supernatural peace. And it's a really strong peace. This peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder if Paul just sort of glanced over and looked at the guard sitting next to him and the chain that was bound to him, and he thought about guards. That's a military word, right? It's to stand guard or watch. Would have been very familiar to the Philippians because Philippi was a Roman colony, and it had Roman soldiers in there to keep the peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, all across the Roman Empire. Now, that garrison or group of soldiers could guard the Roman peace, but only by external forces. God's peace works on the inside. Right? God's peace is like a military guard who's constantly on duty, guarding our hearts and our minds. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I worry, it's the things I'm feeling in my heart. And I'm kind of anxious and worked up and, oh, how's this all going to work? And I need God's peace to guard my heart. Other times, it's in my mind and the things I'm thinking. I'm laying in bed or driving or doing whatever, and thoughts are going through my mind a million miles an hour. And I'm chewing them up over and over, and it's sort of the paralysis of analysis. And it goes, and I don't know. And I need God's peace to guard my mind and my thoughts. Most of the time, I'm not smart enough to know whether it's my heart or my mind. I'm not sure. It's kind of all connected and I can't figure it out. It doesn't matter. Because God's peace can do that. Guard my heart and guard my mind. That's what I need. Let me close with a story that is personal in our family. It goes back a few years. The year was 1994, and the doctor told my wife and I, well, I have good news and I have bad news. Good news is you're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. The bad news is the chemo that Debbie's on for her cancer causes birth defects. What do you want to do? What do you mean? Do you want to terminate this pregnancy? And we looked at each other and said, abort our baby? No, we're not going to do that. Well, we had two ultrasounds during that pregnancy. And I remember the second one was a little later on, and I said to the doctor, you know, I'm kind of looking at the screen. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. But are the two black dots the eyes? Yep. And how about on the side, the ears? Yeah, that's okay. I said, well, do they work? Because we won't know till he's born. I think, did we know at that point he was a he? Yep, okay. We won't know. Well, I got to admit, I did worry a little bit those 9 months. And I asked God for his peace, and God was there. December 8th, 1994, Joshua Mark Loomis was born perfectly healthy. We named him Joshua because Joshua means God saves. He was our third child, and we were so glad to have him. Things looked great. Till about age 2.5 or 3. And he couldn't talk. He could make sounds. He could probably say 5 words, maybe 6 words. I don't know. He should have been able to speak a lot. We thought, well, what's the problem? Maybe it was his hearing. Nope. Hearing was fine. Did a bunch of different tests. Turned out that he had speech apraxia. And the way that you cure apraxia is you practice. And so we had speech therapists from Hennepin County came for probably 2 years or more. And we had flashcards at home. And he had to work and think about and practice making the sounds and working your tongue. And that's what we did for a couple years. His speech, or his drama teacher in high school said, you know, Josh, the reason that, one of the reasons that you have the leads in these plays and these musicals is because when you speak and even when you sing, you enunciate really well and people can hear you and understand you. How did that ever happen? And we're proud parents because God's called that little guy. Actually, he's not little. He's taller than me. To be in full-time ministry. He and his wife are in China for a second year. And then next fall, he'll be at Trinity Seminary to study for the pastorate. And we think of the peace of God. Next month, if I'm doing my math right here, he'll be 25. Sorry, kids, but I think your parents, they worry about you no matter what, how old you are. They just do worry about you all the time. Maybe not all the time, but we never stop. And I don't know what you worry about today. What's on your mind, what weighs you down, what your anxiety is. But don't let that chew you up. God has a solution. You pray and you trust him. And whether it turns out well or not so well, or you don't know, or the story's not finished yet, God's peace can be there each and every day. So I'm going to just close in prayer. And I want you to talk to the Lord about the things that worry you. Okay? Let's pray.